Jacksonville, Florida. It's time for another Hour of Power with Apostle Kimberly Daniels. Get ready for a 60-minute experience that will change your life forever.
First John 2:16. I'm going to start at the 15th verse. And it reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." And the Amplified Version says it is the final and the last time. I want to begin to teach on the pride of life. The pride of life. And as we look in 1 John 2, it says that there are three things that rule the world. Three things that rule the world. Two of them are rooted in lust, and one is in pride. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Now notice that before we even get to life, God clearly talks about what the flesh lusts after, or what the eyes lust after. And in the scripture, it tells us that the eye gates, they're the entrance to the soul of a man. So what we see and what we come in contact with, that's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It has to do with a couple of things. Number one, seeing. And number two, coming in contact with. Before we ever go to the pride of life, which is the topic that we're going to be on for quite some time, I'm going to be teaching on pride. It says that none of these things are of God, but it is of the world. How many of you know that we can be in the world, but not of the world? That word flesh is sarx, is the Greek word, S-A-R-X. And it's the flesh that lives. It's not talking about a dead carcass. It's talking about flesh that's alive. It's talking about the flesh that came alive after sin. How many of you know that before sin, the flesh was dead? Okay? Before sin, the flesh was dead. When Adam sinned, his flesh came alive. And that's how he knew he was naked. Because how many of you know that when you know that your flesh is alive, it reveals your nakedness unto you? People that are in sin, something in them, whether they're in church or not, does not make them think that they are saints. Now, we're not saying that people in the world, you know, that they know God or that they're sensitive to the things of God. But when you're in the world, something tell you, you in the world. Most of the time, it's religious people that get bound by the trickery of the flesh and the lust of the flesh that will make us think that because we come to church or because we read our Bibles, that we're necessarily right. But I thank God for a line that's been drawn in the spirit, because that flesh, even though we live right and you can live holy, Paul talked about the scolopes. That's the Greek word for thorn in the flesh. He had a physical ailment, the scolopes, the thorn of the flesh. And that doesn't mean that it wasn't a mental attack. It wasn't an emotional attack. It wasn't a spiritual attack. It was a physical ailment or a physical attack. How many of you know that the enemy attacks us in many ways? He attacks us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, materially, financially. There's so many different realms or kingdoms that the enemy will come through to attack us. The Bible talks about in 1 John 2 and 16, it talks about the lust of the eyes. That word is ophthalmos, which relates to ophthalmology or the study of the eye, and it is ophthalmos hoplos is one word, and ophthalmos ponoreus is the other one. Ophthalmos hoplos is a sound eye, and ophthalmos ponoreus is an evil or diseased eye. How many of you have heard me talking about ponorea? Aponoreus. Aponoreos. That means to be depraved or to become diseased. It literally means wicked. The word wicked is ponoreus. It means wicked, or to just have a wicked eye. How many of you know that people can have wicked eyes? And wickedness, when wickedness gets on the inside of you, how many of you know it will breed pride? I want to introduce pride in relations to life. And I really believe that it will help us to better be able to worship the Lord and to serve the Lord and appreciate life. How many of you know the curse of life is when you do not appreciate what God has provided for you? That is one of the biggest problems, and that's why people are getting depressed. How many of you know if people could get what I'm saying right now, they won't need medication? That's why oppression comes. That's why depression comes. That's why obsession comes. How many of you know when you have a lust for something, you're obsessed with it? A lust of the flesh, a lust of the eye. It is actually an obsession. And an obsession is when the mind is overtaken by the thought of a thing. An obsession is when the mind is literally overtaken by the thought of a thing. Now, I want to talk a lot about some Greek words. Because you know what? I've taught on pride for so long. I really did a Greek word study on pride and life. Okay, so one of the main things that God showed me and dealt with me about was that pride has a lot to do with boasting. Prideful people will say things out of their mouths that will be boastful. Now, how many of you know there is a holy boasting? Paul said, when I'm boasting in the Lord. You know, there's a Greek word, braggadocious. You know, when you boast or when you brag, it should be because God is in you. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about a boastful or boasting spirit that God is really pulling down. He's pulling it down in every area. He's pulling it down on national television. He's pulling it down on Capitol Hill. He's pulling it down in the church, unless he's dealing with us as individuals. God is dealing with the pride in America. He's dealing with the pride in Florida. He's dealing with the pride in Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County, Clay County, Nassau County, He's dealing with the pride in our neighborhoods. He's dealing with the pride in our churches. He's dealing with the pride in our lives. Come on, put your hand on your heart and say, God, I renounce the pride of life. I don't care if you're saved or not saved. You better remember the words that I speak to you tonight. Many cannot rest because of the pride of life. Many are comfortable when they should be uncomfortable because of the pride of life. Let's talk about boasting. Boasting. There are three words. You don't have to actually remember them, but I just need to break this down. There's three Greek words that I want to talk about in reference to boasting. There's kokomahi, there's kokima, and kokisis. Kokomahi, kokima, and kokisis. Kokomahi means to glory. Kokima means the actual boasting. Kokisis is the act of boasting. So let's talk about boasting. Number one, kokomahi means glory. How many of you know that's why God hates pride? Because he wants the glory. How many of you ever thought about what the word glory means? I mean, let's just break it down. Glory means, in relations to pride, credit. God simply wants all the credit. There's something called vainglory, or glorying in self. And when I think about these three words, kokomahi, it means to glory in oneself. But kokima is the actual boasting. Kokima is actually what you're saying. And guess what? Kokisis is the act of boasting. So all three of these words together is a threefold cord of death, whereby because people glory in themselves, they begin to operate in certain acts that would even begin them to say, make them say certain things out of their mouths that would be a glory-snatching spirit that would take the glory from God before he can even smile and enjoy it. You know, there are glory-snatching demons that will get in your life. I'm talking about pride that subliminally operates in your life that sometimes we can't see. We would never intentionally take God's glory. But what about ignorantly taking the glory of God? And I'm around people that do it all the time. Every time God do something, they intellectually make up an excuse as to how that would have happened anyway. And you just stole God's credit. That's why pride walks so close with the spirit of intellect. Because pride is a high-mindedness. It's a high-minded spirit. And it lifts up the mind of a man over the mind of God. You know, in the Bible, it talks about the mind of the spirit and the mind of the flesh. We were given a mind. Do you know why we have a mind to think? Because God wants us to think on him. Think on these things. That's why we got a mind because God didn't want us to walk around like zombies. We got a mind because God don't just want us to just worship him. He wants us to think on him. See, because that's when you really proud about something. It's on your mind all the time. Now, the Bible talks about a good pride. There is a godly boasting. You know, guess what? Our testimony, when we testify, we boast in God.
But we have to understand the difference of coming from the perspective of the mind of the spirit and the mind of the flesh. The mind of the flesh will always glorify the flesh. The mind of the spirit gives credit to God. Do you understand the foundation of what I'm saying right now? Now, what you're getting on a midweek Bible study service in the church, there are some people right now that would crawl 1,000,000 miles to get what you're hearing. There are some people that will pay $1,000,000 to get what you're hearing. And all you got to do is have an ear to hear. Won't cost you anything but some attention and some discipline and some submission. Because if you get this, you can understand what true life is all about. We have been so deceived about what true life is all about. And it's all rooted in the pride of life. Now, all three of this word, kokomahi, kokima, and kokesis, all three of them comes from a word, achen, a Greek word, achen, A-C-H-E-N, and it means neck. All of these boasting spirits come from the neck. And when I looked up the word achen, it reminds me of when God said they were a stiff-necked people. All through the Old Testament, God told them, deal with your neck. Because that's where the seat of the kingdom, the throne of Leviathan, it resides in the neck. It's not movable. There's no bending. There's no room. It's stiff. In other words, it's a stiff rebellion that stays there and refuses to be moved even by God. So this word achen gives birth and produces to kokomahi and kokima and kokesis. These are things that are birthed out of a stiff neck. Things that are birthed. How many of you know that my mama used to say a hard head makes a soft behind? But how many of you know a stiff neck will make a soft behind? See, the stiffness of the neck represents the unwillingness to be moved by God. And when you got a stiff neck, you'll find your people saying the same thing over and over to you, and you think it's something wrong with them. But why are you still saying the same thing? But why are you still where you are? That word is pronounced Achen or Achen. It's the neck of one who stretches the neck and holds it in pride because of what he thinks he has made himself. See, that's what Achen or Achen is really rooted in. It's the stretched neck. One of the prophets in the Old Testament talked about the women with stretched necks and wanton eyes. How many of you know when you stretch your neck, your eyes get big? And not only are you walking in the pride of life, but then you got the lust of the eye. Wherever there's the lust of the eye, what the eye see, the flesh gonna want. So you can't separate the lust of the eye from the lust of the flesh. The sin of Achan is to think that you made yourself. It's not so much about your head being high and your neck being stretched. It's what's going on in the mind. Those are manifestations of the wrong kind of thoughts. Those are manifestations of success without God. Different levels of success. You know, some of us may have come off of welfare. That's a level of success. And the enemy may trick us to say, you know, I did that. I worked hard. I went to college. I raised these children. I made it through the hard time. I will exalt my kingdom. I will. You got to be very careful, because the pride of life is always rooted in the spirit of ambition. And ambition is a deep, dark, empty hole that is never fulfilled and never satisfied. And that's why you will never be happy in life, because you will always be looking for more. And no matter how much God does, no matter how much testimony you got, it ain't enough, because you are unsatisfied. And that is the curse of the pride of life, is the spirit of not being satisfied. Come on, raise your hands in the air and say, God, you are more than enough. You're more than enough. There is a word that's related to pride. I'm going to teach on them. Sunday, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to teach on all of these Hooper prides. That's a prefix. That's what I call them, because it's a whole bunch of words that start with the prefix Hooper. The word Hooper, the Greek word Hooper, means over, means to go too far. There's one Greek word I just want to speak on tonight, is hooperphanos. As I told you, the word hooper means over or too much. That word phanos means to show off. So hooperphanos is when a person is overzealous about showing off. How many of you know prideful people will be braggadocious? And this word hooperphanos is always and often, well, I'm not always, but often associated with rejection of God. Go to Luke 1 and 51. I'm going to read the Amplified version. Start at the 49th verse. No, 46. I want to read this out. You know, I just really want to, I'm going to read from this Bible study. Let's go from 46 to 53. It says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies and extols the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked upon the low station and humiliation of his handmaiden. For behold, from now on all generations of all ages will call me blessed and declare me happy and to be envied. For he who is almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, to be venerated in his purity, majesty, in his purity, majesty and glory. And his mercy, his compassion and kindness toward the miserable and afflicted is on those who fear him with godly reverence from generation to generation and age to age. He has shown strength and made might with his arm. He has scattered the proud and haughty in and by the imagination and purpose and designs of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled and satisfied the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty-handed and without a gift. This is Mary's visit to Elizabeth. Notice how Mary, the mother of Jesus, talked about how blessed she was. She bragged on God, but it ain't had nothing to do with her. She talked about how lowly she was and how God looked down on a person so low as her. And how many of you know that men will take that same situation and lift Mary up, when Mary never intended to be exalted? Mary never intended to take the glory. Mary never intended to take God's credit. But everything you see that takes credit from God is rooted in the demonic. Anything, any person, any place, anything that takes God's credit, you better believe that the devil is behind it. It is a Luciferian spirit. He tried to take God's credit from the beginning. My God, look at how Mary exalted the Lord. And then Mary even talked about how by his strength and his mighty arm, he scattered the proud and the haughty. She says, in and by their imagination, the purpose, and even the design of their heart, God dealt with them. And remember I was talking about how people that are bound by the pride of life, how they are never satisfied? But this scripture says that God has filled and satisfied the hungry with good things. And the rich and those who are bound by the pride of life, the Bible says God sends them away empty-handed with no gift. How can you be rich and be empty-handed? That tells me that the actual pride of life is missing a whole lot of stuff. Go to Romans 1 and 30. It talks about slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, and boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents. They were without understanding, conscienceless, and faithless, and heartless, and loveless, and merciless. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree, and those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Not so much about people doing what they want to do, because we're not against that. It's about them making us want to agree with it. We emphatically disagree. With everything on the inside of us, we disagree with everything that disagrees with the Word of God. That's what the pride of life has done. The pride of life has gotten into the loins of man and produced spirits that make men think they can take away from the Word of God. Don't mean nothing about God saying homosexuality homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't matter about that. Our lifestyle, because we are rooted in the pride of life, we can be boastful. They boast in their sin. And they want the people of God to agree with it. Go to 2 Timothy 3 and 2. It says, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant, and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhumane, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement, stiff-necked. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate, and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce haters of good. They will be treacherous betrayers, rash and inflated with self-conceit. They will be lovers of sensual pleasures and vain amusements more than and rather than lovers of God. For although they hold a form of piety, a form of true religion, they deny and reject and are strangers to the power of it. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people. Turn away from them. I want to talk about the eyes, the lust of the eyes. There's three Greek words, and I guess I'll spell them out. That may help you in study. Anoigo, A-N-O-I-G-O, anoigo, It means to open the eyes and restore sight. The scripture reference is Acts 9. Read verse 8 through 40. It talks about Saul on the road to Damascus. That's what, wait a minute. No, Acts 9. Exactly. Acts 9, it talks about Saul on the road to Damascus. Read verse 8 through 40. It means to open the eyes and restore sight. To open the eyes and restore sight. The lust of the eyes. How many of you know that without anoigo, your eyes will lust? Your eyes must be open. Your sight must be restored. The next word is dianoigo. D-I-A-N-O-I-G-O. It means to open eyes. Are opened eyes that are caused to see what has not been seen before. So this is not just to see. But this means that all of a sudden, your eyes have been opened. How many of you know there are a lot of people in the body of Christ, they have experiences with God, been in church all their life, and then they experience dianoigo. They experience dianoigo. Okay, because their eyes have been opened, and they see what they have not seen before. The scripture reference for that is Luke 24 and 31. Luke, the 24th chapter. I'm reading about 29, verse 20. It said, but they urged and insisted, saying to him, remain with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them, and it occurred that as he reclined at the table with them, he took a loaf of bread and praised God and gave thanks and asked a blessing, and then broke it and was giving it to them. When their eyes were instantly opened and they clearly recognized him, and he vanished, departed invisibly, and they said to one another, were not our hearts greatly moved and burning within us while he was talking with us on the road? And as he opened and explained to us the sense of the scriptures. In other words, they were with Jesus, but something happened when he broke that bread. Something happened when the bread of life. How many of you know that the bread of life, there is no abundant life without the bread of life. The bread of life, when we break bread with Jesus, it opens our eyes to see what we have never seen before. And so so many people will say, I've never seen that. And you know, we're always continually seeing more in the Word of God. But there's something about breaking, not just shouting, not hooping and hollering, not jumping around, and there's nothing wrong with that, but when you shouting, hooping and hollering, and jumping around, and ain't no bread been broken, you're going to be still blind. You're going to still see things the way you always see them. Old things are not going to pass away. Nothing will become new. Because you have to experience that opening of the eyes that causes you to see. You got to be able to see what you never seen before. That's when you know your life has been changed. You ain't been changed. I don't care what nobody say to you. Until you can look down at this word and see what you have never seen before. At anoigo, dianoigo. Anoigo means to open the eyes and have sight restored. Dianoigo means eyes open where you can see what you haven't seen before. And the last one is kamnuo, K-A-M-N-U-O, kamnuo. And it means to shut down and to close the eyes as not to see. Go to Matthew 13 and 15. So this relates to people who once saw. We're talking about the lust of the eyes. This relates to people who once saw. They used to see. Now, something has shut it down. Something has pulled the blinds down. Matthew 13 and 15. It says, for this nation's heart has grown gross. What made our nation stop seeing that killing babies was a sin? What made our nation stop seeing? You know, one time America would see, you know, what was morally right. But in America, we are suffering from camnuo. That means to be shut down and closed. People can't see. They just think they just giving people a right to the choice of their lifestyle. They have a choice even in the little babies. We talking about life. So I could choose if a person live or not. We need to choose if we're going to lay down or not. Not choose if somebody going to live or not. Because life is life at conception. I'm talking about soon as the sperm hit the egg, it's a life. It has a spirit. It says, for this nation's heart has grown gross and fat and dull, and their ears are heavy and difficult of hearing, and their eyes have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears and grasp and understand with their hearts and turn, and I should heal them. Man, God is saying a lot there. He's saying that people that used to see can't see no more. Because we got three different types of eyes, three different types of sight. We're talking about the sight, the eyes that are open and that's restored, like on the Damascus Road. We're talking about the opening of the eyes when they met Jesus. You know, and when he broke the bread, their eyes were open, and then they could see what they hadn't seen before. And then we're talking about that camnuo that would take what you thought you saw from you, and you won't even be able to discern it no more. Now, let's talk about life. In order to talk about pride, we got to talk about life, okay? All right? How many of you know what Zoe life is? You heard of Zoe life, all right? The God kind of life. Raise your hand if you haven't heard of Zoe life. If you have not, come on, be honest. Zoe, well, I'm going to, you know, it's kind of popular. It's a Greek word, Zoe life. Say Zoe life. That means abundant life. That means eternal life. That means the God kind of life, okay? Zoe life is life and existence without end in opposition to death and non-existence or temporary existence. So Zoe life is not just about Zoe. You can't live Zoe life in a lifetime on earth. Zoe life goes past when the last breath goes out of your body. Zoe life, life goes past 80 or 90 years, 100 years. We're talking about eternal life, okay? Now let me say this. As I was doing a word study on life, I ran into a word, bios life. B-I-O-S life. Now, this kind of life is related to the word biology, and it means life that is temporal or based on the scientific study of life. We're not talking about spirit life. We're talking about carnal life. We're talking about natural life, bios life. And guess what? Bios life is defined as life without Zoe. Life without Zoe is life without God. Okay? So you need to know what Zoe is. What kind of life is good life? God life? And what kind of life? And we're not saying that bio life ain't good. It's just that you got to put Zoe life over bios. We need bios life. We need life that we can live. You understand what I'm saying? And touch and relate to the world. But see, people have begun to put bios over Zoe. You know, they want life that they can feel, touch, smell, see. But see, you can't put your finger on Zoe because you can't put your finger on eternity. Because Zoe life is what we strive for. Many people are striving for bios life. They're striving for the pride of the bios, or that which can be scientifically pinned down, that which can be explained in our books in school, that which can be understood through history and science. People, my God, people have gotten so smart that books written by men become more significant than the Word of God. I'm telling you, they want you to prove it to me. And then they'll pick up a history book that was written by a man who passed it down from generation to generation, not understanding that the Word of God is spirit, it is life, and there is no life without it. That's the kind of life I want. Not the kind that got folk all stuck up and caught up because their bills ain't paid and because this ain't happening. When you get a revelation of Zoe, you can function in the earth. You can be in the world, but not of the world. You ain't offended. You don't have time for foolishness because I got Zoe. I'm breathing. I'm existing in him. When you're living Zoe life, when you look at the news, you ain't moved. You move it. You don't let the news move you. You move the news. Because you got the pneuma of God. You got the ruach of God. You got the breath of God, the breath of life. How many of you know when you get the bread of life, you can breathe the breath of life? Let's talk about real life. I'm talking about the life when you can go to bed and you can wake up and... Some people go to bed and say, and they wake up and say, and they stuck and they can't even release. They don't have a release because they don't understand what true life is. Because maybe somebody that they looked up to didn't treat them right that day. Or maybe they're doing more than other people do and they don't realize that in Zoe life, you work hard. And if you don't get it in this life, you're going to get it in the end. People that are drivers for the kingdom of God, they're not moved by what everybody else is doing because they understand the power of Zoe, Zoe life. And so let me say this. I looked up some words, and suke zosa has to do with psyche, suke. You've heard me say it so many times. Has to relate directly to the breath of God. It has to do with the actual mind. How many of you know that when God breathed, we became alive and we had a mind to think? Breath is directly related to mind. You know, they say people are what? Brain dead. When your brain starts functioning, they literally say that life is gone. When God breathed breath, when he breathed the ruach of God into Adam, he became a living soul and he began to think. He had a mind. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? So this word, suke zosa, it means soul life. See, suke means soul life. Zosa means living soul. And you have to understand that you can't just be suke, soul life. You got to be zosa, which represents the zoe life, living soul. Some people just got soul life, but they're not living souls. You gotta have God in your life to be a real living soul. It's in him that we live and move and have our very own being. And until you come in God, life don't start till after Christ. Before you were saved, you was walking around a dead man. You was walking around a dead woman. Life don't start until after Christ. Come on, put your hand on your heart and say, after Christ, there is life. Before Christ, there is nothing but death. I pray that these principles will help you tonight. Suke zosa, soul life versus being a living soul. It means life after Christ. And then there's another Zulan Zoes. It's related to Zoe life. Zulon Zoes. Zulon represents tree. Tree of Zoe. Tree of life. Scripture references are Revelation 2 and 7, Revelations 22 and 2, and Revelations 14. I'm going to say that one more time. Revelations 2 and 7, Revelations 22 and 2, and Revelations 14. I really don't have time. And you know what? Can I tell you that God is my witness, and I got probably 10 pages of this. God gave me all this in 2 hours today from 5 o'clock to 7. You can't come up with stuff like that. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just letting you know that God is speaking to us. I started by 5:30 and probably about an hour and a half. And God could give me these things, you know, not just to come and preach and make you happy, but to give you some nuggets that will make you know and be fulfilled in life. A lot of people got life, but they don't have fulfillment. You got to know, you got to be filled with God. You got to be full. You got to be satisfied. The tree of life, Zulon Zoes. And then here's another Zoe term, Heontos Zoe, H-E-O-N-T-O-S-Z-O-E, H-E-O-N-T-O-S-Z-O-E, Heontos Zoe. He means the, ontos means indeed of truth or real life, and Zoe means eternal. Real life eternal. Real life is eternal. Heontos Zoe. Heontos Zoe. Real life. You got folk walking around with rims and chains and money and houses and cars and mansions and movies and shows and radio programs and television programs and jets and cruisers, but you need to be able to say to them, Heontos Zoe. Real life is eternal. Heontos Zoe, blessed life that comes with satisfaction, the way of life, the savor of life, the love and appreciation of the life that God has given. No, I'm not black and want to be white. I'm not a woman and want to be a man. I'm not a man and want to be a woman. It's a curse for you to say God made you something that you're not supposed to be. That's what Zoe life is. The appreciation. How we have such a lack of appreciation. Well, I wish my hair was straight and not curly. My skin was dark and not light. My body was a little smaller and not so big. I'm not talking about overeaters or people that are just gluttonous. I'm talking about folk that were just born with a big frame and God made you that way. God knew what he was doing when he made you. People are walking around depressed and suicidal because they ain't satisfied with who God made them. My answer to them is Heontos Zoe. Real life is eternal. And the scripture references about this kind of life. Read 1 Peter 3 and 10 in your free time. And Psalms 34 and 12. Psalms 34 and 12. I just want to touch on a few of the biblical. We're talking about the pride of life. The biblical prides of life. I got plenty of them, but I'm going to just touch on a few of them today before we get out of here. Greek words, alazonia, A-L-A-Z-O-N-E-I-A, alazonia. Remember when I talked about the boasting? This type of pride is when a person boasts about what they do not possess. It is when someone is going around bragging about what they ain't got. In other words, they're boasting and they're living a lie. They're presenting You know, some folk are going around pretending they got joy and they ain't got it. Oh, yeah, anybody, I don't need God. My life is happy. No, the devil is a liar. There is no such thing as having joy without God. Allozonia, it's a type of pride. It's a boasting about what you don't possess. In other words, you don't have it, but you're trying to make other folk think you got it. Someone going about with empty and boastful professions of cures and other feats, whatever. Some folk going around boasting about the call on their life, boasting about their ministry. We got a lot of allozonia in the body of Christ. Oh, I've been to the nations. I've been here. I'm doing that. God is doing it. You know, it's nothing wrong with speaking things that are as though they that are not as though they are. But don't cross over the line and be bound by the curse of allozonia when literally in your mind you thinking more of yourself than you ought to. The second type of biblical pride is alazon, A-L-A-Z-O-N. This shows off what a person thinks or pretends they possess. The Bible and the study that I was doing refers to them as ostentatious quacks. Go to James, the 4th chapter. Alazon. A-L-A-Z-O-N. Your scripture reference for alazon is James 4, verse 10 through 17. Humble yourself. How many of you know humility is the antidote to pride? Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, he will lift you up, and make your lives significant. Isn't that something? For those who feel insignificant, feeling very insignificant, humble yourself, and then he will make you significant. He will lift you up. In other words, some people lift themselves up. And God says, if you humble yourself and make yourself insignificant in your mind, I will make you significant in life. God cannot raise up folk who are already raised up in their minds. He said, my brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer of the law, but a censor and a judge of it. One only is the lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. The one who has the absolute power of life and death. But you, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your neighbor? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make money. Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. You ought to instead say if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we should do this thing or that thing. But that is, as it is, you boast falsely in your presumption and your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is a sin. Could you imagine how people were looking at James in that church service? So could you imagine? Let me tell you something. There's one thing to have faith in God and to be confident on the God in the God in you, but there's another to be boastful. We will go here and do this. And you know, a lot of people in the Word of Faith movement would tell you, oh, the Bible don't say if the Lord willing. If it's in his word, he's willing. No, is it in his will? Come on, somebody. His will going to line up with his word, but there must be a connection with the word and the will and the will and the word. They walk hand in hand. And the Bible says, don't you think even more of your faith in God? They say, we'll go in and do this thing and do that thing. You better say if the Lord is willing. Come on, somebody, because even when we prophesy, it's only in part. We don't know everything. You know, whoever walks around thinking that they're God and that they know everything and they could just point their finger like bewitch and I dream a genie. God ain't like that. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Yeah, we're moving. We're believing that this is God and we're going to go in and possess if the Lord is willing. Because I'm telling you, if God ain't willing, ain't nothing going to happen. Jesus said, not my will, but the will of the Father. He got to be willing. He got to be willing. So James broke this thing down, and that's that alazon, you know? That's to pretend that you got all the answers when you don't. Therefore, let's go back to the beginning. Remember when we started off from the jump, 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world. That's why he said, don't be so close to the world. Don't be so, everything in the world come up under these three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So therefore, in 1 John 2:16, the Greek word of pride of life is alozoneia taubio. Alozoneia taubio. That's alazoneia, first word. Tau, T-O-U, bio, B-I-O-U. Alozoneia taubio is talking about the same kind of life we talked about, bios life. Bios life, showing off to fellow mortals. Ambition, vainglorious pursuit of honors, the luxury of life, the splendor of life. Living life to get an accolade. Living life to get an award. Living life to get a bonus. Living life to be praised in the natural. Never understanding the significance of the spiritual blessings of God. Alozoneia taubio, pride of life. It's the same. There's another Greek word that means the same as alozoneia taubio. It's a kenodoxia. That's K-E-N-O-D-O-X-A. Kenodoxia. That means to pretend to be what you are not. To pretend to be what you are not. Let's go back to hyperphania. Remember I say hyperphania? H-U-P. You know, hyperphania. E-R. Phania, P-H-A-N-I-A. Pride, encompass. With the desire to show off what you have in comparison to what others have, thus appearing above them. You know, some folk, they don't have to get out the ghetto. They're just going to have the best house in the ghetto. Some folks stay on lower levels. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Just to make other folk look lower than them. They ain't going to go over here where there's somebody that's going to, you know, challenge them. Or they're going to see somebody doing some things in life greater. A lot of folk don't want to be around people doing greater things. I'd rather be around folk that's doing less than me. Therefore, I can make myself look better than them. Y'all know that I'm telling you the truth. And this is hyperphania, pride. It is nothing but a pride. That is encompassed in the desire to show off what you got in comparison. So it ain't so much that what you got, it's just as long as you got more than what somebody else got. It may be a family member. You know, a lot of people in debt right now because of hyperphania. It may be a neighbor. It may be a family member. It may be a church member. You know, if they get a Lexus, I got to get a Mercedes. You know, I just got to keep moving that thing higher so I can be up higher. The opposite, there are two words, two Greek words, tapinos, T-A-P-I-N-T-A-P-E-I-N-O-S, tapinos, it means to humble yourself to the flow. To humble yourself to the flow. And tapino frosune, same word, just add frosune, T-A-P. I-E-N-O-E-I-N-O, frosune, P-H-R-O-S-U-N-A.
Tapino frasune. That means humility unto humiliation. So when we talk about bios life and we talk about zoe life, bios life, we're talking about quantity of life, and zoe life, we're talking about quality life. I pray that the words and the scriptures that I've read today will just put an impartation in your spirit and put a hunger on the inside of you.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. To contact Apostle Kimberly Daniels at Spoken Word Ministries, you can call her at 904-237-9363. Services are Sundays at 12 noon or Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Or you can be her friend on Facebook by logging in at State Representative Kimberly Daniels. Don't forget to like and follow. And join us again next Sunday evening at 6 here on Praise 107.9.